we were enemies of God. That's what Paul would write just before our epistle text for this morning. This is how he put it. For if while we were enemies, while we were enemies, it implies that we no longer are. And that's what Paul wrote in the conclusion of that statement. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Jesus' death has reconciled us to God so that we are no longer his enemies. Now we live our lives in him, and we shall be saved by his life. Keep these ideas in mind that, first of all, we were enemies of God who were reconciled to him by Jesus' death on the cross. And secondly, that we now live our lives in him. These are both gifts of God. We could not and would not have come to God of our own power. We were his enemies. We wanted nothing to do with him. We were going 180 degrees the wrong way, and we were okay with that. God came to us. And today we live our lives in him, which is also not of our own power. We are able to live in him only because he has sent us his Spirit through the waters of baptism and the hearing of his word. Paul wrote about the future. He wrote, shall we be saved? Shall, future tense. We don't have it yet. We shall be, but we are not yet saved by Jesus' life. That is our future hope. And our hope relies on the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary and that he has given us his Spirit to keep us in that true faith for our lives. Again, those are God's gifts to us. But in order to understand the gifts better, we need to know from what God has saved us. That is what Paul explains in our text today. All of those things from which Jesus has rescued us. Paul wrote, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was the type of the one who was to come. Again, Paul has outlined that we were reconciled to God as a gift of God. But in these words, he expands on that idea. As you know, we had to be reconciled because we were enemies of God. We were enemies because we were in sin. But which sin? Well, here Paul begins to expand on that answer as to what sin we were in. Which sin separated us from God? And Paul begins that answer. One form of sin which had separated us from God was that of original sin. That sin passed down to us all the way back from Adam in the garden. Original sin is that sin which came into the world through one man, namely Adam. Now, there must have been some in Paul's time, and there are probably some in our time today, who question, would God put someone to death if they don't know what the law is? They were considering the time from Adam to Moses. Moses is where God puts the law on the stone tablets for his people on Mount Sinai. And yes, Adam had received a law. He had received the law not to partake of the forbidden fruit. But what about those between Adam and Moses? He went on to, Paul had acknowledged that thought, writing, sin is not counted where there is no law, but he doesn't stop there. He went on to write that despite the law not having been written on Sinai during that time of history, the people still died. Death still reigned. And that death was the result of sin. For one thing, there had been a law which Adam broke, as we had mentioned before, the law not to eat of the forbidden fruit. But, and it is true, they might argue, well, yeah, Adam partake of that fruit, but what about the others? They couldn't have partaken of that same fruit because God had kicked Adam out of the garden. No one was able to get back there. So what about them? It is true that those who died between Adam and Moses could not have partaken of that forbidden fruit. Yet nevertheless, they died from Adam to Moses. They had the law, which they ignored. So it is then that Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary covered not only partaking of that forbidden fruit, but even original sin. That same sin from Adam, which has been passed down generation to generation, all the way up to me and to you. As Paul put it, the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Here we need to pay close attention to the grammar that Paul used. Even closer. The gift we have received in Christ is much greater than Adam's one trespass. As Paul wrote, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have. Have. Plural. It is a verb expecting a subject that is plural. And so there are multiple things that have much more. Much more have, number one, the grace of God, and number two, the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ. Much more have these two abounded for many. Do you see? It is truly bad and evil that many have had sin passed down from generation to generation, and that many have also sinned because of that natural inclination. But as bad as those are, the gifts of God's grace and the free gift of grace from Jesus Christ work more beautifully. Adam's sin brought condemnation to the entire human race, but Jesus' obedience to God's law brought justification for all sin. Adam's sin, original sin, and the natural inclination to sin that we now have. Indeed, all of sin has been paid for by Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary. And what is more, and what is more beautiful, is that Jesus has given you that forgiveness freely. By that forgiveness, Jesus has justified you before God, and now through that same forgiveness, Jesus has given you His Holy Spirit to keep you in the one true faith. This is how Paul stated it. For if because of one man's, that is Adam's, trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. To better understand that idea, the ESV Bible commentary notes say to go to Romans 6, verse 23. This is what Paul wrote in Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So an early church father, Chrysostom, explained it this way. After speaking of the wages of sin, Paul does not say the wages of good deeds, but the gift of God, to show that it was not of themselves that they were freed, nor was it a due they received, neither yet a return, nor a recompense of labors, but by grace. In this way, it is not by our works, either in coming to God or remaining in Him of ourselves, but it was and is all by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and in sending you His Holy Spirit. Neither does God owe us forgiveness. No, He simply gives it for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that by grace. In this way, Lutherans are correct when they say that we have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, as Scripture alone speaks. And those Scriptures speak about Jesus Christ and Him alone. So it all fits together. We were enemies of God and have been reconciled to God by Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary. And more than that, we are able to reign in this life by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that God gave us in our baptism. What is more, we now live our lives in Christ. So how do our lives look now? Well, just a few verses before, verse 23, this is how Paul describes how our lives can look. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Again, we have that current and future hope of eternal life, and all of that through the grace of God in our Lord Christ Jesus. We have that current and future hope of eternal life. The end of sanctification, the Holy Spirit is working in you through the baptism that you received. So how Paul concluded our text is also useful for how we will conclude this sermon. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. And that one man is none other than Jesus Christ, your Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.